This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Enterprise. This is Open for Business, and my name is Rich Bradbury. For years, I have been fascinated by animals that live in colonies, whether they be ants, whether they be bees, whether they be wasps. All of these things have kind of fascinated me, but there's been one little problem that causes me some concern. I'm allergic to bees, and I found this out when I was a child by sitting on a bee accidentally. The thing stung me, and of course, it caused me no end of problems. That being said, I want to talk about the business of bees. You may have heard him very recently here on BFM. His name is Azrul Dino bin Abdul Malik. He's the founder of Dino Kalulut.
Yes, correct.
He's a certified stingless beekeeper.
Stingless. They don't sting, but they still can bite.
Right. Now, for me, this sounds like something wondrous. There's a few things that I'd like to talk to you about, first and foremost. Obviously, beekeeping is one of the oldest occupations in the world.
Yes, correct.
Domestication of bees is shown even so far in Egyptian art from 4,500 years ago. Mm-hmm. Even depictions of humans collecting honey from wild bees from 10,000 years ago. Today, honey is produced, distributed, and marketed on a global scale. Mm-hmm. Now, Dino here is from a company that produces stingless bee honey. He's going to tell us more about the business of bee farming and honey production and where it's headed in the future. First of all, Dino.
Yes.
How did you get into the beekeeping business, and what's the story behind Dino Kalulut?
Hi, Rich. Thanks so much for having me. Okay, first of all, I'm actually a regular honey consumer. Yeah. So what happens is that I used to buy honey from the supermarket. I used to take honey on a daily basis. And every morning, I'll take one spoon and make sure that I'll do it on a daily basis. But what happens is that I came across an article that said that 80% of honey that you find in the supermarket or in the market, it's either fake or synthetic honey.
Right.
So that triggered something in me. I said, I need to do something about this because there's too many things that are not how they're supposed to be, you know, like, so I actually said, okay, honey is supposed to be very good, but because there's so many people are out for profit, so what can I do? So I actually decided to say, okay, let me do some research on bees. So I came across this latest hype at that time, trend. It was stingless bees, Kalulut. At that time, I had no idea what is Kalulut. So I was like, what is this? Very funny sounding, yeah? So I was like, okay, I only know the normal regular bees that make honey in honeycombs and hexagon-shaped combs, but this was totally something different. Their hives were like totally like made out of like alien pots, you know?
So it's like, that's what it looks like.
Yes, yeah, it looks like alien pots. So I was like, what is this? How do they make honey? So that actually made me research more. And after that, I realized, okay, and the honey tasted not normally the sweet type, but it's actually the sweet-sour taste.
Right.
So I said, okay, but the medicinal properties-wise was actually very good. So I started to actually research and I got into the business. I said, okay, I want to buy 300 colonies at a time. And then I actually hired a company to actually manage it for me. But out of these 300 colonies, they actually managed it for 2 years. But I got actually scammed because I wasn't doing it on my own.
So you weren't on the ground of
I wasn't on the ground. I had no knowledge hands-on doing it. So I just went into the thing. I just jumped in and said, okay, I want 300 colonies and I want 300 kilos of honey next month. Something like that. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't the right way because my farm is located in Kuala Pilah, Negeri Sembilan, which is about an hour, 40 minutes from KL. So I only traveled down like once in maybe 2 to 3 months, and there are a lot of hanky-panky stuff happening. Mm. They stole my honey. They stole my colonies.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, so it's like after 2 years of heartache, you know, I'm not getting the honey that I'm supposed to get, and I've already invested quite a lot inside. One colony costs about like 600 ringgit.
Right.
So I had 300 colonies.
That's so not imagine. Cheap.
So it's not cheap. So when that happened, I actually decided, okay, after 2 years, I think I need to actually take things back. Because at that point, I was at a crossroads, you know. I was actually like, should I go this 100% or just sell the business off and just forget? Right. So after that, my wife told me, she said, if you actually want to do this, you have to do it yourself. It's a bit tiring, but you need to do it on your own.
So you quit your day job?
I quit my day job.
What was your day job before?
I was actually in an IT firm in IBM.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was working there for 13 years. I had a 9-to-5 job for 13 years.
That's a big change.
So it's like totally changed to something that I had no experience and no knowledge on. It's like I have to work in a farm and handle bees, you know.
Okay, so... You've told me a bunch of stuff already that I have a million questions for. First of all, why is it that your colonies are located in Negeri Sembilan? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose there?
One of the main reasons is because in Kota Damansara, where I live, it's not mainly for honey production. There's a lot of pollution and stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, we have to move back to the kampung area, the village areas. So over there, the company was actually based there. So at that time, imagine if I want to actually bring 300 colonies back to Kuala Lumpur, it's going to be a lot of work.
Right. And this company, I assume, are a company that are familiar with bees already. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So, but why Kelulut? Why not normal bees?
Okay, normal bees, first of all, normal bees are a bit harder to take care of because they are more prone to diseases and stuff.
Right.
Yes, and then after some, maybe 1 to 2 years, they have the, what is it? They actually can just leave the hive.
just disappear. And then your investment
is
gone.
Yes.
Right.
So for Kelulut, they're actually like more stable. They are actually like more prone to disease. They're actually like more, how to say, more protected.
Right.
Yes.
So 600 ringgit per colony.
Yes.
How many bees roughly in a colony do we have?
For the one that I'm rearing, that's about 5,000 workers inside there.
Okay.
So yes.
And how much does that one colony produce?
Okay. One colony, if it's on a honey season, which is from February to about... August, you can get probably about 500 grams to 1 kilogram if it's honey season. But normally towards end of the year, it's monsoon season. So it's rainy season. So we don't harvest at all usually because it's rainy season. The bees need honey for themselves.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And how different is the kind of harvesting process with Kelulut compared to normal honeybees?
Okay, normal honeybees, you're familiar that they need to have smoke machines and stuff to actually, and then they have to wear the proper suits. But for Kelulut stingless bees, what happens is that we just need the suction machine because they make honey in propolis pots.
Like little pods.
Yeah, so we need to just break open the tip of the pots and we just use a honey suction machine to suck it. So I have 300 colonies. So that's quite time consuming as well.
How long does it take then to harvest your 300
colonies? Normally, one colony would take about 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh.
Yes.
So, and how do you kind of manage the population? I mean, you've got 300 colonies. How do you ensure that you've still got 300 colonies and your bees are not, like you say, they stay where they are.
Yes.
But I'm sure that there might be some that...
Okay, first of all, in the beginning, I used to have like 300 colonies in one location. I thought that, okay, if I have 300 colonies, there will be 300 kilos. But actually, that doesn't work because the surrounding, the environment is only like, they have food source is limited. So we actually decided to actually like spread it out. Like from 300 colonies, we just put 50. So we did, put it into 6 locations instead.
And then
50 colonies can actually produce 50 kilos. So that's actually more... So we actually learned that the hard way because before that it was like 300 colonies and only can produce like 20 kilos.
Right.
So it's like, doesn't make sense because when the next day when we harvest the whole thing, usually we harvest at the end of the month. So basically, once we harvest all 300 colonies, the next day, all the bees will go out and find the food at the same time. So it'll be like competing for the food source.
Right.
So when they come back, the next month we say, oh, the honey is not recovering properly. So we learned that the hard way. So all these are trial and error. So.
I mean, it must be difficult coming from a day job that you had to do something like this, you know. And you've already been stung with, excuse the pun, by people who are not looking after your stuff. I mean, did that make you rethink whether or not this was something you should do as a business?
Definitely. I actually felt like giving up because like I've already invested quite a lot of so much money. And then my wife was also like, when are you going to start getting back your money? Because it's like you're supposed to be getting profit after 2 years. But
it's a heck of an investment.
Yes, yes. Investment. Then it's like you get people who burn you, right? So it's like I remembered that on the day where I decided to say, okay, give me back all 300 colonies, I had to actually go down to the farm at night because we only can transfer the colonies at night from 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. So we had to do that 3 times, you know, like we have to carry 300 tree trunks.
Wow.
And put it on the truck and actually bring it to the new farm. So we did that for 3 nights in a row. And I remember that on the third night, our back was like almost broken already. It was like, but that was the struggle, you know. But after that, we actually said, okay, after we brought it back the next month, imagine how much honey we get. We got about like 60 kilos. And remember the past year, they told me that you have no honey, you got nothing.
Right.
And then 1 kilo is about like average about 300 ringgit, you know.
Right.
So like they took the honey and they told me that it's nothing. So it's like you have in this industry, you need to actually go down and handle yourself. You have to do it yourself. So basically, I did basically everything myself, from the farm, from bottling to everything to accounting everything. I had no, you know, from a day job to A to Z, you know. So it's really a.
How do you feel about that? I mean, do you feel that your life now? I mean, it's so much different. Mm-hmm. Do you feel more fulfilled now doing something like this?
Yes, I'm actually more fulfilled because my mission right now is actually like I'm actually producing honey, raw honey, and I'm actually supplying to people around here. And people actually, in the beginning, I didn't have the plan to actually like start to actually sell it in PJ because I used to sell it just in Kuala Pila.
Right.
But people said, like, Dino, you actually have honey. We want to try your honey. Can you? We want your honey. So I said, okay. Let me just start branding it as Dino Kulut.
Right.
So we started selling online and people in Klang Valley and it started to expand. And now I'm actually supplying to the hotels as well. So it's actually growing.
This is fascinating, Dino. We have to take a short break, though. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. There's a few things I want to ask you about how much it costs you to set up in terms of everything. You know, I mean, you've already given me a bit of a clue as to how much a colony was. But stuff like zoning, legal requirements and that kind of stuff, of people who may be interested in this. Also, people who might be interested in helping you out by investing a little bit. Let us know. We're going to take a short break. Of course, you are listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 at the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Open for Business. In the studio with me is Dino from Dino Kelulut.
Hey.
He is a certified stingless beekeeper. We've been talking about how he got into the business. Now, a little bit about the investment, Dino, that you put into this business at the beginning. Was this all out of your own pocket, or did you have a group of people, or did you go to investors? How did it work?
Okay, in the beginning, I took a loan out for about 180-something thousand. And that was for the colony itself. But eventually, I got a grant to actually like innovate the thing. Because right now, because after the fourth year, we got a support from the local SME corporation.
Yeah.
Because we actually like came out with the boxes of hive. Because right now, how you actually want to rear the colony, you have to actually go to the forest and cut down trees.
Right.
So what we do is actually we actually transfer them into wooden boxes, and we don't have to cut down trees anymore because after 1 year, one colony can be separated in can be split into another colony. So from one, we can multiply into two.
I see.
So that's one sustainable business.
Is it the same in the way that normal honeybees are, where they have a queen bee?
Yes.
It's a similar kind of thing,
yes,
is it?
Yes. There's only one queen bee in the hive.
In the hive.
Yeah.
Right.
If there's there's another second queen bee, they will fight, and then the losing one, the head will be chopped off, decapitated.
Oh wow!
They're quite rude.
They're quite rude.
Yeah, they're actually very.
Okay. So what about legally? I mean, are you kind of other laws that you have to abide by, zoning regulations or anything like that?
First of all, obviously you can't have illegal logging.
Right.
Okay, so everything has to be proper. So right now, the farm that I have is I'm actually renting out from my workers. It's a kampung area. So we just actually rent out the land and then we put the colonies over there.
Right.
And so we don't have to actually plant trees as well because we want it to be as natural as possible. That means forest trees and everything is already there. And it actually like faster. We don't want to actually like, in the beginning, actually I thought, okay, I need to have an empty land. I want to actually plant a lot of trees. And when you do that, cost increases.
Right.
So this time we actually want to like to make it as quick as possible. We have the natural resources ready. We just put the colonies there, and they are great pollinators as well. We get the honey, and they get more fruits as well.
Mm. And what kind of fruits and trees do they generally harvest from?
Okay, for stingless bees, they like to have coconut trees, rambutan trees, and depends on the season, because like rambutan, they are seasonal, right? Mm. So
so the taste of the honey can change throughout the year.
Yes. Ah. If you see, from my own farm, even from the same colony, even from the box that they harvest, each pot has different color. Some are darker, some are lighter. But if you go to the supermarket, you see all honey is all the same color.
Same, yeah.
Why is that? Because they have processed it into a.
They mix it together.
Yes, mix it together, and it's all. But actually, the real honey, it comes in all sorts of colors. They have clear and they have the darkest one. I've even seen also like people have purple honey. You know?
Purple
honey, green honey, because it depends on the nectar that they take from. Yes.
And how, in terms of like the overview of your business and kind of maintenance cost, does it cost a lot to maintain your business?
Okay. In the beginning, it's really expensive because, when I told you, I mentioned that we bought colonies at 600 ringgit in the beginning. After 3 years, we need to actually renovate it again because after 3 years the log will start to decay because we leave it in the sun and it rain and shine it decays after 3 years. So that was one of the problems that we had, so we actually had to actually transfer into wooden boxes. But people ask, wooden boxes be the same thing as the normal wood, tree trunk, right? But I said it's not the same because normally you see the kampung houses, it's all wooden as well, but then they can.
But they're still there.
Yeah, still there. So actually, because we have, it's actually protected. We have we have to put shellacks and stuff like that. It's okay. But basically, our technology is actually to imitate what they're actually doing in the tree trunk. So we came up with the technology already, and it's already supported by the local government agency. So that's one of the things that we actually got. Maintenance wise, at that time, it's basically a totally new colony.
Right.
So imagine 600, and then after 3 years, you have to actually do 600. So right now, we're actually offering, for those people who want to come into this industry, we have finished all the headache for you. We have settled all the headaches for you. You just buy the hive from us. We just supply from you. Totally, just buy it. It's completely, and we come and service it at your farm.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you're offering that service now as well.
And quite a lot of people have done it because in my housing area, there are about 5 to 6 people already put it in their backyard because it's I want to have my own honey in my own backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's easy.
I bet.
Yeah.
So do you have, how many people are working for you now?
Right now I have 4 employees.
Right.
So I have basically right now my farm site is already stable. So right now I'm actually hoping to expand because before this we're still shaky. Yeah. But now my farm site is already stable. So right now we're actually figuring how do we actually expand further, export honey.
And that's how you want to expand.
Expand, and then we're actually coming up with different products as well. I'm hoping to actually launch another product soon with Kelulut honey, because right now Kelulut honey is in demand, but it's just that it's only honey right at the moment. So actually trying to come up with other stuff as well.
And how? Okay, so when I go to the supermarket and I'm looking at the shelves, you have your super cheap honey.
Yes.
Which we know has been mixed with other stuff, and there's sugar in it and all kinds of stuff. Yes. And then at the other end, you have your Manuka honey, which is super expensive and has allegedly a whole bunch of health benefits. Where does, in terms of pricing, Kelulut honey come between the two?
Okay, Kelulut honey is actually more towards the premium side.
Right.
It's about 1 kilo, it's about 300. Actually, we can actually fight with Manuka honey as well. And then actually, I'm currently researching with this University of Malaysia, Terengganu, actually why our honey is better than the rest of the honey in the world.
Right.
Yes, and actually, it's actually more towards the premium side because the health benefits wise, because of the propolis, right? That's why actually if you compare with Manuka honey, we can actually fight actually around that same level.
Right.
Yes.
And what in terms of profit are you at now?
Okay, at the profit side, basically, because we are still in the fourth year, so basically we do have profit, but actually whatever we have now, we have to go back into marketing and actually put back into the business.
Right.
So basically,
are you still servicing your loans? Or are they all paid off and done?
Yeah, paid off, but basically, we actually that's the hard part, I was the best. But yeah, life goes on, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so we've spoken about your setup. We've spoken about expansion. Briefly, let's kind of touch on ecology and the area that you are in right now. We've spoken about some of the laws that you're kind of subjected to. Mm-hmm. Have you had anybody complain about there being hives around or anything like that? And, you know, people just not understanding these are stingless bees, that they're fairly harmless, you know, anything like that?
That's normal. Normally people, when they see bees, they'll be like, they just stay away, you know? But yeah. I said, okay, this is actually good pets. They're actually great pets because like they don't sting. So they're actually like normal pets, like flies.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, you have to give a bit of education. But so far, I have not received any complaints that, please keep this away from my house. But because like, when they actually realize that I actually brought hive to my parents' house, in the past, they only had like just a papaya tree, for example. Mm. It only started to fruit like once in 6 months, and the fruit was very small. But when I started to bring back these bees, the next month, they started to have 10 fruits, and they were all big papayas, you know.
Wow.
Because of pollination.
Yeah.
So my parents were, must bring more. So it's really very good.
So expansion is... You want to look at overseas then as well?
Yes, overseas. Because, stingless bees, you can only find it in tropical countries.
Yeah.
Like Australia, Indonesia, Thailand and these areas. So basically, like, I have customers in the US already. They already bought because, like, they see, like, this is something we don't have. Like, it's something totally unique, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, has a sweet sour taste. So in the hotels that I see, they have these foreigners, actually, like, tourists, is like, wow, this is something unique. And then they actually pay premium price for it.
And how do they normally consume it then? I mean, okay, in the UK, for example, you might get honey and you might put it on a bit of toast or you might pancake. Put it in your tea or on a pancake.
Yes.
Is it the same way?
Okay, because actually our honey is raw honey. The raw honey has a lot of active enzymes in there, probiotics and vitamins in there. So basically the best way to actually take it is 1 tablespoon in the morning, empty stomach.
Oh.
And you don't leave, and you don't eat anything for 30 minutes to let the honey absorb in the body.
Mm.
And that is for energy throughout the day.
Right.
And another way is at night before you go to sleep, you take one tablespoon and you go to sleep. And when you go to sleep, the healing thing starts to work. Because when we sleep, the body starts to heal naturally. But when you eat this honey, it's on beast mode. It's like
beast mode.
It's like it multiplies the healing processes, you know.
And I know that a lot of people are very. You must eat it with a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
You can't use a metal spoon. Is it the same case with this?
Okay. That's actually that one is actually there's no scientific that one, right? But we just go with it. It's okay. It's
go with
to take,
it. Yeah.
Yes, you just go with it. Okay. You just a wooden spoon, ceramic spoon is okay, but no metal spoon. So you just go with it. Process, yeah.
And where can people buy this in the supermarkets?
At the moment, you can just buy it from my website.
Yeah.
Because basically, I just harvest it fresh from my farm. It's dinakalulut.com. So you just order online and we'll do it. We'll actually normally ship it the next day because like my honey is fresh. I actually go down to my farm every week to get the fresh stock. So it's always like, and demand is always going. So sometimes I have to go at least once.
At least once a week.
At least once. But there are times I have to go down 2 to 3 times as well.
Right. Before we wrap up, of course, one of the big things that's been in discussion recently is the decline of bees worldwide. What can we do to help prevent the decline of the kelulut here in Malaysia? How can we help them thrive?
Okay, that's true. Even in Malaysia, that's starting to happen already. Pollination is starting to happen. Bees are actually like lesser because like there's these bees called tualang bees. What happens is that they also they make their nests completely in the rainforest trees really high up.
Mm.
And basically, what happens is that when people go in there, they actually cut the whole colonies away just to take the honey. And it's compared to kelulut honey. Kelulut bees, they're actually different in sense that when we harvest the honey, we only just break the tip of the propolis spots and next month they will just regenerate. That means the colony is still there. But for tualang bees, it's totally different. What used to be like a place for pollination, when you actually go in and you cut down the whole, you're actually killing the whole colony.
So they have nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. So basically you take the whole honey and basically it's just gone. No, there are no more bees there at that place. So what happens is that when that happens, it affects the environment as well because monkeys don't have fruits to eat because no pollination is happening. They have lesser fruits, and then it affects the environment. And then eventually it affects us as well, because like when there are less animals in there, we affect. So it's like it's one ecosystem. So right now the way we can actually do is that we actually consume less of tualang honey at the moment, and for maybe 5 to 10 years, let them recover back. And then right now, that's why the government is actually focusing more on Kelulut honey at the moment, because it's sustainable and it doesn't have a big impact in a negative way, but actually it has more impact because they are great pollinators. When we bring it out to our farm, more plants have more fruits, and then it helps with a lot of good. And then if we get the real honey, we can actually find the source from. Because right now, we have honey, we have no way to trace it, you know.
Right.
Like for me, we can actually, I welcome people to come to my farm all the time. I say, okay, if you want to come, just make an appointment with me. We'll go down together and explain to you. Because they have no idea what this Kelulut all about.
Right.
Sometimes, so I just give them. And then you get to taste honey on the spot as well. So it's actually something I'm actually doing and have a lot of passion with it.
I am fascinated. I am going to have to pay a visit to your farm.
Yes, sure, do. Please do.
Dino, thank you very much for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you so much.
Right, where can people find out more about your honey? Your website is www.dinokelulut.com.
Yes.
Great. You're on Facebook and Instagram, of course.
Yes.
At Dino Kelulut.
Yes.
That's it?
Yep.
All right, this has been Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.